More than 100,000 people have been killed, and nearly a quarter of Syria's population has been displaced since the uprising against President Bashar al-Assad began back in March of 2011. While the Obama administration, up until this point, has largely avoided any direct involvement in the conflict, the administration claims on August 21st a chemical weapons attack left 1,400 civilians dead, and they claim it was the work of Assad's forces. Calling the use of chemical weapons, quote, a red line, President Obama has asked for congressional approval for a U.S. military strike. Here with us now to sort out this very complex situation in Syria is Mohammed Ayoub. He is a Michigan State University Distinguished Professor Emeritus of International Relations and the author of the newly released book out this week, Assessing the War on Terror. He also has a book coming out in February with the title, Will the Middle East Implode? Welcome to Current State, Dr. Ayoub. Nice to see you.
Thank you very much, Mark.
What do you make of President Obama's decision to seek congressional approval for an attack?
I think the president was caught in a bind because it's obvious that domestic public opinion is not terribly enthusiastic about engaging in another warlike enterprise in the Middle East after having been caught in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffered losses not merely in terms of human lives, but also in terms of American credibility and popularity in the region in particular, but the world in general. So I think the decision to go to the Congress was, in a way, was the result of two things. One, Obama's fundamental indecisiveness about this issue. I think he got caught in a bind because he had made a statement a year ago or so about the use of chemical weapons being a red line, and now he is being forced to deliver on his warning that he had made. The other is that he is very ambivalent about doing this, even at this stage, it seems, and wants to cover his back by getting the Congress to approve so that in case things go wrong or the attack doesn't meet its objectives or it creates a greater mess, which it is most likely to do, that he could share the blame with the Congress and not have to take total responsibility for it.
Why would an attack, in your view, likely lead to a greater mess?
Well, because I think for two reasons. One, I do not think it's going to make a fundamental difference in terms of the actual state of play in Syria on the ground, unless it goes beyond merely a cruise missile attack, and it's a sustained one that takes out many of the military assets of the Assad regime. That might change the situation. But I don't think they're contemplating an attack of that sort. So if it's merely going to be a pinprick, the negative political fallouts from there are probably going to be much more than the positive military outcome. It's going to once again raise the temperature in the Middle East of anti-Americanism. It's the third or fourth time that in the last decade the United States will be engaging in warlike activity in one of the Muslim countries. I mean, not many people in the Muslim world are particularly fond of Bashar al-Assad, but once there's an external intervention by a major power, and given the fact that American credibility is very low in the Muslim world, it might turn that opinion around. So that would be one of the negative fallouts. The other would be what's politely called collateral damage, which means there are civilian casualties that far exceed the import of the military import of that attack. And that might create a hue and cry. In fact, it may actually, if one could see a scenario where it actually becomes counterproductive because it raises the sympathy level for the Assad regime within the Middle East, to not amongst regimes, but amongst the what's called the Arab street or the Arab population, to an extent that it turns popular opinion against the United States, against the opponents of the regime, and in fact, in favor of the Assad regime. So there are all sorts of consequences that might follow.
What is the best path forward, though? There doesn't appear to be many options here.
No, there isn't a good path forward. I mean, the choice is between the worst and the worst, probably, if one can put it that way. But Syria is a very complex issue. I mean, what started as a democracy movement turned into an insurgency, and then thanks to external assistance to this insurgency, it's become a full-fledged civil war. But what's even more important is that it is no longer merely a domestic Syrian affair. There is more than one proxy war that is being fought in Syria. There is the proxy war between Saudi Arabia, which supports with its other allies in the Gulf, and Turkey supports the opposition to the Assad regime, and Iran, which is one of the principal supporters of the Assad regime. Iran and Saudi Arabia are the two principal contestants for preeminence in the energy-rich Persian Gulf region. And this is one way for Saudi Arabia to keep Iran bogged down in the Fertile Crescent so that it depletes its diplomatic and political capabilities that it could exercise or use in the Persian Gulf. So there is that Cold War that's going on. The Saudis obviously are not particularly interested in democracy promotion, given their own system and the fact that they have only recently used what in American terms would be called boots on the ground by sending in forces into Bahrain to crush Bahrain is next door to Saudi Arabia, to crush the democracy movement there, to help the Al-Khalifa regime in Bahrain crush the democracy movement there. They are in Syria primarily to teach Iran a lesson. The other proxy war that's being fought, and it's connected with the one that I just talked about, is the proxy war between the United States and Iran. Because of the tension between Tehran and Washington over the issue of Iran's nuclear enrichment aspirations, but it goes much beyond that as well. The United States or certain segments of American policymakers are interested in teaching Iran a lesson as well. And I think that's probably the primary reason why the United States has become involved in Syria. I mean, there are obviously humanitarian and other grounds, but the United States has been involved clandestinely in supporting the insurgency, in supporting the rebels for the past year, year and a half, and that's been no secret. CIA does have boots on the ground, probably in Syria, but certainly on Syria's border with Turkey.
We're talking with Dr. Mohammed Ayoub, MSU Professor of International Relations, about the Syrian debate. Let's talk about two countries here with apparently quite different opinions on how to go forward, and two of our bigger allies. Britain's decision not to participate, but the French support of military action. What are we to make of that?
Well, it's interesting. It's sort of a reversal in roles, because if you remember Iraq,
exactly,
France had opposed the intervention, the American and Allied intervention in Iraq, whereas Britain was the most enthusiastic supporter, the cheerleader. In fact, Blair had put himself out on a limb so much that British public opinion had started to call him Bush's poodle. If you remember that term.
Sure.
And this time the rules have, as I said, have been reversed. David Cameron did want to go into the war, just like Blair did with Iraq, but his parliament voted it down. And it's very interesting that this should have happened, because in a parliamentary system that Britain has, unlike the presidential system in the United States, the prime minister and cabinet have a majority in parliament. Otherwise, they would not be the government of the country. But despite the fact that the government had the backing of a majority in parliament, the House of Commons turned down its request for a proposal to go to war or to join the United States in this endeavor against Syria, which is really a slap in the face for David Cameron. But he apparently has a very strong hide. Any other person in his place would have probably sent in his resignation to the Queen, because it amounted almost to a vote of no confidence in the government on such an important issue.
What's been the larger general response from other world countries?
I think, well, we have seen the Russian response, which is highly negative, very critical, in fact, rudely so, in some of President Putin's statements. We have seen the Iranian reaction, which is equally critical. In fact, some segments of the Iranian military elite have talked about retaliation and so on and so forth. On the other hand, there are regimes in the Arab world like Saudi Arabia, who have very enthusiastically supported this move, despite the fact that there are critics within this country itself that have said, well, if the Saudis are that excited about the endeavor, why don't they go in and do it themselves? Because they have much of the technology, weapons technology and weapons, top-of-the-line weapons, that have been supplied to them by the United States. But the Saudis are not prone to taking chances and are very conservative on that. And I think I'm not even sure if they're able to operate fully all the top-of-the-line weapons that the United States has supplied to them. Turkey has been very enthusiastic about it, but not just enthusiastic. In fact, the Prime Minister of Turkey has expressed his reservation in a sense that he feels that the United States should have been doing much more, that the objective of an American military intervention in Syria would really be to bring down the Assad regime and not merely give it a pinprick on this particular issue chemical weapons.
U.S. credibility took a hit in the aftermath of the Iraq war. It still suffers in some areas. How would you assess our credibility on this front right now?
Well, the Iraq war, and I mentioned this earlier as well, the Iraq war has done a great disservice as far as American credibility is concerned, particularly the credibility of the intelligence on the basis of which the Bush administration decided to go to war, despite the fact that it did not have United Nations approval. As it turned out, much of that intelligence was manufactured, if you want to call it that, in the back rooms of the Defense Department by a certain cabal that was interested in this venture, in bringing down, not merely bringing down the Saddam regime, but in debilitating Iraqi military, the residual Iraqi military capabilities after the 1991 war. And when it came out, and Hans Blix, who was then the head of the UN inspection team, was against it. Mohammed al-Baradei, the head of the director general of the IAEA, had gone on record to say that he did not believe that Iraq had any nuclear weapons. But despite all that, Colin Powell went to the Security Council, and it was one of the – and he later regretted that he made that speech, that he appeared before the Security Council and presented evidence that was obviously manufactured and did not correspond to the reality on the ground.
But where does that correspond with today?
Well, today when the United States administration says that the Syrian government – has used chemical weapons, people say, ha, well, that's what they said about Iraq, that Iraq had nuclear weapons. So why should we believe them?
So there is still doubt.
Oh, yes.
Are you suggesting that doing nothing may be as constructive as taking action?
I would think so. I think this may also be the beginning of going down a slippery slope on Syria. And that the United States, once it's taken action and it hasn't achieved the objective that it thought it was going to achieve, which means that if Assad uses these weapons once again, the United States may be forced to go in down the road where having boots, even putting boots on the ground, may have to be seriously considered, which American public opinion, I'm sure, would not approve of. And then if at that point the United States backs down, its credibility will take an even greater hit.
We are out of time. I wish we had longer. Mohammed Ayoub is a Michigan State University Distinguished Professor Emeritus of International Relations and the author of the upcoming book, Will the Middle East Implode?, which comes out in February. His new book coming out this week. I scribbled it down and lost it. No, it's here. It's called Assessing the War on Terror. Look for that as well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.